Welcome to today's podcast of Personal Growth Recipes with your host, Ron Denner. Now, today's podcast is titled Emotional Intelligence 101. You know, what is emotional intelligence and why is it so important? I'm going to go into details on this on today's podcast. And, you know, this subject I'll probably cover in more detail on future podcasts because this is very, very interesting to as we delve into this. You know, we all have cognitive intelligences. You know, some of us are good at math, others at speaking, writing, singing, etc. You know, these cognitive intelligence skill sets are very important, but they account for really less than half of our success in life. Now, emotional intelligence accounts for over one half of our success in life. You know, going back to high school, as an example, how many of you have had a class in math or English? Probably everyone. And how many of you had a class in self-awareness? Probably none. Now, how many of you had a class in managing your emotions? Once again, probably none. You see, these are part of what I refer to as emotional intelligence. And if we can start to develop this more, it's going to give us an edge in our personal and professional life. So I want to give you three quick points about emotions. Number one, they're universal. Now, everybody in the world has basically the same emotions, but we express them very differently according to our different cultures especially. I'll give you a couple examples. For example, a Japanese woman expresses anger at her mother-in-law by having an imperfect photo arrangement on the table. Now, an American woman expresses anger at her mother-in-law by throwing the flowers at the mother-in-law. Big difference. Number two, emotions impact performance. You see, anger and anxiety are called swing emotions. They can go either way. And as an example, in sports, you know, when an athlete becomes frustrated, you usually see them get a technical foul in basketball, or they spike the ball in football. Then they get a penalty, which costs their team. And you can also see it swing the other way, where it can motivate them to do better and to try harder instead of derailing them. Now, emotions can either work for us or against us. Number three, all emotions, including the negative ones, like anger, are intuitively good. It's our signal that something is wrong, whether it's in dealing with a customer or a loved one. The first thing you want to do when you are confronted by an angry person is to ask them what's wrong. And they're going to tell you what's wrong anyways. So you might as well use that to work for you. You see, anxiety tells us that you are uncertain. Enthusiasm tells you that you are excited. And dejection tells you that you have no hope. And optimism tells you that you expect positive things to happen. Now, the other point is that anytime you're experiencing an emotion, just stop and ask yourself, what does the emotion tell me? Once you know the message of the emotion, you can start to respond more effectively. You see, how you talk to yourself when you are angry is much different, usually, than how you talk to yourself when you're happy. The problem is most people are not aware of how they talk to themselves. Now, think back to the last time you got into an argument with your partner or a loved one. What did you do? Now, if you said, I don't want to talk to you right now about it, and you walked out of the room, you know, this has probably happened to everyone, including myself. And that clearly is not helping. What are your thoughts when you're angry? I'm willing to bet it wasn't all positive thoughts about the other person, but mostly negative in the heat of the moment. As a tip, anytime you get angry at someone, immediately think of something positive about them. You know, if you can, it's going to prevent your thoughts from escalating in a negative way. You know, the concept of emotional intelligence was developed by two college professors. And in today's podcast, I'm going to identify five key factors that make up emotional intelligence. Number one, high self-awareness. Two, mood management. Three, self-motivation. Four, interpersonal expertise. Five, emotional mentoring. The people who are high on these five factors are some of the most successful people in life. Number one is high self-awareness. What this means is you're tuned in 24/7 on how you think and feel and how your behavior impacts other people. Now, this isn't just average self-awareness, but high self-awareness. Now think about it like having an internal compass. It's your perception of the whole world and how you are approaching other people. It determines our perception of the world in deciding if we're the hero, the villain, or the victim. Now, have you ever noticed that when some of your friends tell a story, they're always the hero? Some people are always the bad guy, and some people are always the victim. Are your perceptions of life accurate? You know, some people confuse the data with their interpretation. As an example, and maybe this has happened to you, but you know, if you walk by someone at work and they don't say hello to you, okay, your interpretation could be that they're upset with you. In reality, they could just be in a hurry to go to the bathroom. This is actually a big deal. We want to start to differentiate between what we see and our interpretation of it. Number two is mood management. What do I mean by that? The ability to manage your moods, to shake off bad moods and to put yourself in a good mood. One thing about moods, they are like a social virus. You know, that's a hot topic nowadays, right? They're literally contagious. You know, have you ever noticed when you're riding in a car with your partner or a friend, they start raising their voice, and then you raise your voice? Now start to think. How do you pick up the emotions of another person? Just listen carefully to the tone of another person's voice. You're going to pick up their emotion, and pay attention to another person's facial expression. It's going to reveal their emotion if you pay close enough attention. Another tip, just try to anticipate the emotional state of the people that you're about to encounter, and you can start to prepare for it. You know, one of the best examples is when you arrive home from work, especially if you have children. You know, try to anticipate the emotional state of your spouse or significant other and children. Number three is self-motivation. The ability to get yourself to do necessary tasks, to bounce back quickly from setbacks, and to psych yourself up on cue. Self-motivation is not about getting up and setting goals. That's what I thought it was. Self-motivation is how good you are at doing things that you cannot stand. Different way of looking at it, right? In everyone's job, there are things that we don't like doing. And this is why self-motivation is so important. Notice that these first three key factors are all about you. It's all about you. Now, these last two key factors involve other people. Number four is interpersonal expertise. What do I mean by that? The ability to relate well to others, to work out conflict, to give and take criticism, and to build consensus. If you've ever raised children, I guarantee that you've yelled at your kids at some point. I know I have. If you work for a boss, it's highly unlikely that you've ever yelled at your boss. You see, we love our children, but we probably don't love our boss. We have different rules and expectations. You know, if we yelled at our boss, there's a good chance that we could get fired. You know, it's interesting to me. Some creative organizations are now giving their employees an outlet to express their emotions. In my opinion, this can really benefit these companies by being more transparent and just allowing open communication. If people's emotions are stifled, it just erupts into something bigger later. Number five is emotional mentoring. The ability to help others manage their emotions, to help others learn to motivate themselves, to help others work out conflict. This is really the most difficult because many times we have our own agenda. We just tend to look out for our own self-interest first and what other people think about us. You know, this is where parents can really mess up. If one of our children grows up to choose an occupation, as an example, that we don't maybe anticipate, it's very easy to get into the trap of becoming more concerned of what our friends are going to think than what our own kids think. Another example is if, say, one of your kids comes home with a problem from school. Now, our first reaction is to give them advice in fixing the problem. What a better option would be is just try to role play with them. Ask them how they interacted with another person. Maybe that's the source of the problem, and just show them how to respond as an example. Just role play. So how do we apply these five key factors to our everyday life? Well, number one, you really need to learn to listen how you talk to yourself. Do you listen to yourself, especially when you're angry? Now, personally, when I'm golfing, as an example, I just did this the other day. I find myself telling myself I can't hit it straight on or I'm going to top the ball again. And once you know it, if I do this, I just end up doing what I just said. Now stop for a moment and pay very close attention to how you talk to yourself. Take a minute, even pause this podcast if you have to. Really take a minute and just listen to how you talk to yourself. And I want you to pay real close attention. Do you talk to yourself quickly or slowly? Now, those who say slowly have an edge. If you speak quickly, you are really going to have a more difficult time when you get angry. See, when we get agitated or angry, everything speeds up, and we tend to talk much faster. That is why the generic remedy for stopping anger is just to slow yourself down. If you're on the phone with an angry person, just speak in a slow response, and it will start to dilute the anger in the other person and prevent you from matching their anger. This has happened to all of us. The other factor is when we get angry, our mind becomes very irrational and we tend to distort things. Now, have you ever said anything that you completely regretted saying later? Once again, I think we've all done it. Another thought, do you talk to yourself in complete sentences or shorthand statements? What do I mean by that? Well, most people think in shorthand statements. That's a problem because most shorthand statements mean something else. For example, a shorthand statement we make is, I blew it. But what does blew it really mean? What does that really mean? We are talking so quickly, we don't ask ourselves if it's true. As an example, if I came home from work and I told my wife, you know, I really blew it today. It sounds like I'm out of business. We won't be able to pay the bills. And what's the point of living? You know, that may sound ridiculous, but that happens in about 2 seconds. I blew it. You know, during the Bernie Madoff scandal, there was a guy in Sweden. He lost $1 billion. He threw himself in front of a train. Now, he still had several million dollars left. So what do you think he was saying to himself? You can't even imagine. You know, what would you have to say to yourself to make yourself jump in front of a train? Now you can understand how gloomy depression is. If you want to relate more effectively to other people, a very good strategy is that when they tell you something, think of a similar situation. As an example, if your child comes home with a poor grade, instead of getting upset and telling them, you should have studied harder, just think of when we maybe underperformed in something and instead say, yeah, you know, that's a lousy feeling. You're going to start to show a lot more empathy by doing that. So just, you know, take 5 minutes a day and just listen to how you talk to yourself. Very, very wise investment of 5 minutes of your time. When you wake up in the morning, who do you think is going to have a better day? The person who says to himself, boy, the economy is a mess. It's going to be a struggle today and the rest of the month, versus the person who says to himself, I don't care how the economy is, whatever's out there, I'm going to have a great day. We all know the difference. You know, this is a practice worth doing. Once we're aware of how we talk to ourselves, we can use our thoughts as instructional self-statements. What do I mean by that? How do we manage this challenge of how do we talk to ourselves? So you have to imagine that you have a little you sitting on your shoulder. Now stay with me on this. What do you want that little you whispering into your ear? You see, we're all on autopilot on our responses, especially if we've been with the same person for several years. We're on autopilot. One technique to help break this autopilot response habit is just take a 3x5 card and just write the following. Listen to what they say. Do not interrupt. It'll be over soon. Now, that may sound funny, but it's very effective. Do you know what you're doing when you do that? You're using your thoughts to regulate your physiological arousal. You know, this is so important to write down these types of statements because how you talk to yourself is a habit. See, you and I, we think about the same things the same way every day. You know, just look at when you have arguments with your partner. You know, you have a script, and the crazy thing is, you know the script doesn't work. And as they're walking out of the room, you're chasing them with that same script and saying the same things over and over and over. That does not go away unless you become an active force in shaping your own destiny. So you want to write those statements down and just put it in a high visibility place to remind yourself that you have to talk to yourself differently in the heat of the moment. Okay? If you don't write it down, those old statements are going to come back. The next thing is to be just to be aware of your intentions and observe your actions. This is especially important in our work life. See, anytime there's a big gap between our intentions and our behavior, we feel uncomfortable. You know, have you ever been in a meeting that you didn't want to be there? You couldn't wait to get done with that meeting? We've all been there. You know, it could even be doing a job or a career that we don't like, and we feel like a complete different person if we find a job or career that we truly enjoy. And we really need to stop and audit ourselves in this area. A good idea at the end of each night is to just to ask yourself what our intentions are for the next day and just to decide what our behavior needs to be in order to match those two up. Now, the next thing is just to learn to relax. You know, we have many crises going on, sometimes almost daily. And when we're tense, little things become big things. So you just have to learn how to relax. The first suggestion is just to find a quiet environment. Now, this may not even be in your own house. You also have to be in a physically comfortable position, because if you're not in a comfortable position, tension goes up. And one thing that helps me, you really need to have a key phrase or saying. You know, my saying is when I feel tension, I just say to myself, be peaceful or be calm. be peaceful or be calm. The next thing is to have what I call a passive attitude. You know, don't try to force yourself to relax. Good example, if you can't fall asleep at night, don't tell yourself to fall asleep. Get up and read a book or watch TV. Meditation is a wonderful activity to do also. It takes about 15 minutes. You know, a minimum, I would say a day for at least 14 days in a row, really just to develop this habit of relaxing, okay? You know, it's kind of like exercising. Doing it a couple times here and there is not going to make any difference. But once you establish this habit of relaxing, you know, it's just something no one else can take away from you. And the next thing is to generate humor. Now, if you don't have 10 to 14 good laughs a day, you're an under-laughed individual. You see, laughing creates endorphins, which are like really painkillers in our body. The last thing is to what I would call a good problem solver. Now, this is really important in dealing with frustration. You know, problem solving is like dealing with a difficult person. We all deal with difficult people. Do we ever come home from work and tell our partner, I can't work with these people any longer because I'm the real jerk? You see, it's always the other person. We always tend to blame the other person. We never come home and say, I'm the problem. So I have a challenge for you. I want you to see your next problem as you being ineffective. How good are you at recognizing that you're ineffective? The faster you realize that you're ineffective, the faster that you can do something about it. Don't always assume it's just the other person. When we put other people on the defensive, they just get more defensive. We should really instead just step back and ask ourselves, what am I doing that's making them defensive? Or what are my other options of how I can respond? So in wrapping up, I just want to ask you this question. How long did it take you to become great at what you do for a living or some other skill set that you possess? You and I have used a lot of time and energy to really develop our technical expertise. And in our highly competitive world, the technical edge actually balances out. And this is where the concept of relating to other people and using your emotions to work for you is going to make a bigger impact on you than your technical expertise. I can't say that enough. What we want to do is develop our emotional intelligence to increase our confidence, optimism, tenacity, and enthusiasm. This is really the essence of emotional intelligence. And if we apply this blueprint to our lives consistently, we're going to experience success on a much broader level. You know, I really, like I said before, I want to get into this in more detail, maybe in future podcasts. This is a big deal, emotional intelligence. So I really appreciate you listening today. And I invite you to tune in to my YouTube channel, Ron Denner. I also invite you to subscribe to Personal Growth Recipes on Apple Podcasts. And please give us a 5-star rating if you've been enjoying it. Please like and share our Facebook page at facebook.com/personalgrowthrecipes. And I also invite you to tune in 2 weeks on Wednesday for my next episode of Personal Growth Recipes. And tentatively next Wednesday, I'm planning on another episode of Biz Connections. That's under the Biz Connections podcast. And this is Ron Denner, your host for Personal Growth Recipes, serving up and signing off.